Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Reading the Lexham English translation. It says, deep waters are like purpose in the heart of a man, and a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, last Sunday we began a series titled Understanding Purpose. Understanding purpose. It's important to understand our purpose in life. We were created, we were made for purpose. And God does not make things without a purpose. And so he made you. You are not an accident. You are here on a mission. You are here on purpose and for purpose. There is a purpose that God has designed for each and every one of us. And you know, the earlier we began to realize and recognize and know our purpose, the better life will be for us. Because our fulfillment in life is in the fulfilling of our purpose. See, people will never feel fulfilled or satisfied until they are fulfilling purpose. Praise God. But it says here, it says deep waters are like purpose in the heart of a man. So purpose is like deep waters, if you put it the other way. Amen. So purpose, we said, number one, we've been able to deduce four things. If you were not here last Friday, Sunday, you can watch or listen to the broadcast. And also on Friday, we continue the series. And but there are four things that we brought out concerning purpose. Number one is what? Purpose is in your heart. So don't try to look for purpose anywhere else. You know, sometimes when we're thinking, what's my purpose? We kind of don't know where to look. Purpose is in the heart. God has planted purpose in our hearts. Amen. And so you've got to connect with your heart. You've got to, when you're praying, you're asking the Spirit of God to help you if you don't know what your purpose is. Because once you discover your purpose, you will know it. And you see through scriptures the people that fulfill purpose. Jesus said, don't you know I must be about what? My Father's business. He knew it at the age of 12. He knew what he was about. He knew what he was. You see, when you are driven by your purpose, when you know your purpose, it doesn't matter what the challenges you face. Life is fruitful. Life is enjoyable. When you're finding yourself tired and bored and unhappy in life, could it be that you haven't discovered your purpose, or maybe you know it, but you're not living it? But the first thing we said is that purpose is in your heart. Engage your heart. Don't ignore your heart. That's where God put it. And the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He's the lamp of the Lord. And it searches. So your spirit is able to search the innermost part of your belly. You know, the Bible, the King James calls it belly, but the innermost part of your being. Don't ignore what you are sensing on the inside of you. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore that passion, that thing that the Lord has planted in your heart. Don't ignore it. It's in your heart. Amen. And the second thing we say, that purpose is not accidental. You know, you don't come about purpose accidentally. You know, even if you think that it was accidental, God arranged it. Hallelujah. God arranged it. The Bible says he makes all things to do what? To work together for our good. So you look on the inside, engage your heart, connect with your heart. There are things that maybe some of you are already sensing within you. Even little children, they can know their purpose from a very young age, from a little age. There's just that something within them that they can tell and they can see. So it's not accidental. We need to draw it out. So the issue is now, so if I don't know my purpose, it's in my heart, but I've got to find a way, because it's like deep water. It's like a well. You know, when you have a well, what you do is that you go to the well. You need a bucket, isn't it? And you need a rope. Hallelujah. I've had my own share of drawing water from the well over the years, because I've lived in places where there was no tap water. And I've had to go and, you know, And even up to the time when my wife and I got married 30 years ago, the place we were living in, we had taps and everything, but water wasn't coming out of it. And so we had to go to the neighbors. See, in the village, when I was in the village, virtually every home had a well. But in the city, not many people had wells. And so these are neighbors who were so kind. So I would go over to those neighbors' houses, and I would get like 4 buckets, and I would draw the water. You know, the water will never fly to my house. I wish it could. Amen. So I would go into all the clothes when we washed our clothes. We did all of those things. I had to go and get the water from the next door neighbor. That's how purpose is. You've got to do something. You've got to be deliberate. You've got to be active in seeking purpose, because your joy and your fulfillment is in it. It is like deep waters. So he says, we need to draw it out. It's not accidental. Number three that we said is what? Purpose is good. It has to be something good. So if I say I have a purpose, it's got to be good. I can't have, you know, if somebody is saying, oh, I'm achieving purpose, but what they are doing is bad. What they are doing is not helping humanity. It's not helping people around them. Then it's not a godly purpose. You know, Pastor Yinka was differentiating between godly imagination and human imagination. Not all human purposes are wrong. In fact, a lot of the things God has planted in the heart of people is not just for believers. As soon as you were born, you know, God said to Jeremiah, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, before I shaped you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I appointed you. I ordained you as a prophet. You see, he was ordained a prophet after he grew up, isn't it? They put oil on him and they say, you are going to be a prophet. But God is saying, no, it didn't happen the day they laid hands on you. It happened before you came. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting that the Lord will direct you in the way of your purpose in Jesus' name. You would know your purpose. You would discover purpose. And then life has a meaning. Life has a meaning. Glory to God. When you know the purpose of a thing, that thing has a meaning. You know, can you imagine you give me a microwave, but I don't know its purpose? See, so the microwave becomes meaningless to me, even though it has a meaning. You know, maybe I throw my clothes in it. I say, maybe it's going to wash my clothes for me. Or maybe I throw my dishes in it. I say, maybe. No, but that's not the purpose. Hallelujah. And guess what? That's what is happening to a lot of us. We are actually not living our purpose, and we are using our lives. I don't want to say wasted, in things that we should not be using it for. Most of the time, we allow external things. Instead of looking at our hearts, we look at external things to determine our purpose. But it's in your heart. You will know it. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, number four. What was number four? Purpose is not primarily what you are doing. Now, this is key. Because people say, my purpose is to, whatever thing, you know, my purpose is to preach, for instance, as a pastor. You see, it's only part of it. It is the impact of what I'm doing. So I am preaching. What do I want to earn by? You know, anybody can just stand up and be preaching. We can stand on the street and preach, but what's the goal? To change lives. That's the purpose. Until you link what you're doing to what it is doing, what it is, the impact it is making in the life of people, because your purpose has to be good, because God planted the purpose in you so you can bring good to humanity. Your purpose transcends you as a person. So if my purpose is just for me, it is not purpose. It has to be generational. God said to, you know, called Abraham. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is generational. He has planted something in you that will transcend your time and your age. Hallelujah. God wants you to make a difference in the world. And that's where joy comes from. So the fact that I'm pastoring, that I have the title of a pastor, it is the joy that I'm bringing to people. When I visit people, when I share with them, when I go, you know, people have babies and I go, all of that. It's not just that I name the baby, it's the joy of knowing that the people are being joyful, they are happy. Praise God. That the word of God is producing results in the life of people. It's changing people. We saw our children, young people, they gave testimonies in church last Sunday. And during the workers' meeting, a lot of our young people, teenagers who are working in different departments, they spoke. And we were truly inspired, weren't we? It's amazing. That's purpose. That will, you know how I went home last Sunday rejoicing. Happy. That's what purpose is about. That from the little, you know, just getting up that one day and going and say we're starting a church. And we started. Look at how many lives have been changed. That's purpose. Praise God. Jesus said how God, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, with ability. What did he do? He went about doing good. You see? See, the power, the anointing, the ability is not for me to keep it to myself. It's to go and do good. And then he didn't stop there. He was healing. That's the purpose. Healing all who were possessed of the devil because God was with them. See, when you are achieving purpose, God will be with you. Because it is his purpose to change our world, to transform our world. Hallelujah. So in summary, purpose is the plan, the goal that God has planted in your heart so you can make a good and positive impact in your world. Hallelujah. And you know, we should not try to think maybe mine has to be something big. Just whatever God has planted in your heart to make an impact in the world, your world is those who are around you. That's your world. Anyone you're in contact with, and then God begins to enlarge your coast. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So that's kind of a summary of what we've done so far. Genesis chapter 45. I want to see what Joseph said. Joseph actually knew his purpose. Amazing. And he rose to a very high position. Genesis 45 in verse 4, he says, and Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. And they did so. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now listen to this. The brother sold him to Egypt, isn't it? He became a slave, became a servant in Potiphar's house. And from Potiphar's house, what happened to him? He went into prison because Potiphar's wife lied against him. So he's now recounting all of those stories. Say, you sold me to slavery. Let's look at next verse. Next verse. But now do not be distressed and what? Disheartened or vexed and angry with yourselves because you sold me here for God did what? Say, God sent me. Now, in all of the drama going on in his life, he recognized one thing. God is with me. God is trying to fulfill something in me. You know, maybe somebody has done something nice, nasty to you. Some people have not treated you well. You've gone through some challenges in life. Don't look at it. See purpose. When you know purpose, you will see past all of those issues. You will see past them. You say, God sent me. Keep going. Hallelujah. God sent me where? Ahead of you to preserve life. Now, did he say God sent me here to become prime minister in Egypt? Did he become prime minister? Oh, yes. But becoming prime minister is not purpose. Did he become wealthy? Oh, yes, he was wealthy. He had land. He had possessions. He had title. He had everything. Now, the challenge in the world is that we aim for those things as if they are the purpose. Those things are not. They are the means. to fulfilling or achieving our purpose. They are not the purpose in themselves, because he didn't tell them, oh, look at me, I'm now prime minister. No, because that's not purpose. God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. So purpose transcends what you become. It transcends title. It transcends possession. Do you know many people in this world, they will fight to get a title. You know, you struggle and say, they've got to make me a bishop. Because you're focusing on being a bishop, but the focus should be what? Lives. The impact is the key. Not to come and sing or to play instruments, but to touch lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. So Joseph knew his purpose. He said it was to preserve life. So God will bless you with titles. He will bless you with possessions. And he will bless you with influence. But that's not the end, is it? It is so that you can do what? So you've got to know what the purpose is. Because he knew it. Otherwise, you'll be stuck. You get all of the possession. And then say, wow, I have what? Arrived. But you have not arrived. Amen. You know, there was a question and that was asked many people, that if money was not an object, that is, if you didn't have a problem with money, what will you be doing? And that's a soul-searching question, isn't it? And some of the answers that someone said, I will not work anymore. I'm just going to wake up, eat, drink, go on holiday. Do you know, you will never be fulfilled. Because that's not purpose. It's a purposeless life. Why do you think people who are so wealthy, they are billionaires, they're still working? You know, I'm sure many of them have tried not to work. When you stop doing something meaningful, you start dying. So the goal, the target is not to get things. The target is to have things to use to fulfill purpose. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. So he knew his purpose. He knew that those things that he acquired, they were a means, or the means by which he will be able to preserve life. Because when he became the prime minister, he had control over the wealth, control over the economy, he had control. But he didn't start there. He started working that prime ministership role while he was in Potiphar's house, while he was in prison. He was building up himself, equipping himself for the role that God was going to give him to preserve life. Esther chapter 4. So we have Joseph, we have Esther. These are people that they were living on purpose. For if you remain, this is her uncle who brought her into, you know, they were taken in slavery into the land of Babylon, I believe. And so they were there, and she's become queen. Now, has she achieved purpose by becoming queen? No, that's not purpose. It's just a position. So she's now queen. Now, this is an opportunity to fulfill purpose. Look at what the uncle said to her. If you remain silent at this time, liberation and rescue will arise for the Jews from another place. Now, this is interesting because it means that there is a purpose that God has ordained for you. And if you're not doing it, what's going to happen? God has to find someone else who will do it. God has good for the land. He has good for your family. He has good for the nation. He has good for our church. Everywhere you go, you are a carrier of good. Hallelujah. The Bible says that men may see your what? Your good deeds, your good works, and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. And thank God that we have a church of people who go about doing good. Lots of people. We have, over the Christmas period, we had a family that cooked over 40 meals for people on Christmas Day. On Christmas Day, when everybody's thinking, I'm going to open my Christmas present, and I'll look at my present, I'm going to have a lovely meal. And that's exactly what I was doing at home as well. Amen. But you had this couple who cooked, and they went out there to cook and prepare food. And later on, I met with some pastors who were there, and they were sharing testimonies. You know, we have people that go to slum homeless are concerned. Even throughout the lockdown period, they would take food there. They couldn't enter into the place because of lockdown, so they would cook and put it by the entrance and knock and let them know the food is there because there was distancing. All through, they were making an impact. The name of the church is known. It's more than the name of the church. The name of Christ is glorified because it is purpose. That's purpose. We're touching lives, people getting clothes. You know, during the winter months, people need clothing, they need socks. They will let us know, you know, they need a lot of socks. Can you imagine socks? That's what some people need to stay warm. That's a life of purpose, praise God. So whatever you achieve, whatever you attain in life, think purpose. Think purpose. Don't think things. My God. You know, Jesus said to a man, he came to Jesus as he was preaching. He said to Jesus, he said, Master, or is it teacher, he called him. He said, tell my brother to give me all the things that belong to me, you see. So he came to the crusade ground. As Jesus is teaching, he's not listening. This man seems to have some authority. I want him to go and tell my brother. So already he's telling the whole world that I have a problem with my brother. What did Jesus say to him? Did Jesus say he was not entitled to the inheritance? No, you're entitled to it. Well, you've consumed your life with trying to get things. He said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. Hallelujah. You know, things without a purpose is meaningless. When you have a purpose, then things will have a meaning. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that was one question. If their money was not an objection, what would you be doing? The second question is, if you had money, what would you do with it? If you had all the money in the world, what would you? I'm not asking you to answer the question. And I told you that one of the people said, well, I will not work anymore. Another person said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to slap my boss. I'll give him a dirty slap. Then I'll walk out of the company. And part of the comment was, what if he sues you? I've got all the money in the world. I'll go to court and I will pay all the penalties. You understand? So can you imagine if we, you know, we're thinking that money is our issue. If everybody had all the money they had, you can imagine a lot of evil that would be going on in the world. Someone would just come and hit your car because the thing has gone into their head. And people who do that, they don't have purpose. If you have purpose, money will have value to you. Whoo! Thank you, Master. So we're talking purpose, purpose. I need to discover my purpose. I'm not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. I've got a purpose. I've got a design for my life. Hallelujah. So Esther said to Esther, he said, from another place, and you and your father's household will perish since you did not help when you had what? The chance, the opportunity. You know, every place you are right now is an opportunity. You know, don't wait till you have a lot of things to show that good can come out of you. Do you know good can come out of you even now? What does the Bible say? It says, if you give a cup of water to somebody, it says, you will not lose your reward. Why did he say cup of water? Because he knows that every person can offer a cup of water. You know, many of us say, well, when I have millions, I will build housing for the poor. Well, you haven't given water to the poor. How are you going to build a house for the poor? The Bible says, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. You know, Pastor Yinka was making a differentiation between imagination and what? Fantasy. You know, fantasy is when you have not given anybody one penny and you say, when I have millions, I will dish it out. No, you will not. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says to Esther, look at what he says to him, to her. And who knows whether you have obtained what? Attained royalty. Now, she attained what? Royalty. She attained queenship. The queenship was not her purpose. It was a means to fulfilling her purpose. So he says, who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this, and for this what? Very purpose. This very purpose. So until it is making an impact in people's lives, it has not become a purpose. It hasn't yet. And I really want us to settle this in our spirit and in our heart. Otherwise, people will just go and say, okay, I need to do this. When I do this, then I'll be happy. And then they do it, they're not happy. And then they move on to another one, they're not happy. They go, say, oh, so what's going on? Why am I not happy? What's the point of life? Because it's got to have an impact on people. Your joy is in the impact that it is making. All the challenges of life will not slow you down because you know the impact of what you are doing in the lives of people. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, maybe even what you are doing is making an impact, but you see, you're not elevating the impact. You're saying, well, you know, it's only making small impact. It is big to God. Hallelujah. And it's something that God will use to promote you and give you great honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So your life is not an accident. You are not an accident. You're not here right now by accident. God channeled you here. God brought you here for such a time as this. You're not hearing this message by accident. Hallelujah. You know, when I go back on my life, even all of the things that when I was young, you know, I used to wonder, I say, why? You know, every time I went around, I used to look at people, their parents were rich and wealthy, and say, oof, why wasn't that my dad, my mom? Oh, I love my dad, I love my mom, but I said, why don't they just have this? And I remember God channeling my life and took me out of nothing, and I landed myself in, to me, the best school in the whole nation, the Nigerian Military School. You got every training you need for leadership, you got it there. A lot of the people that I went to, you know, my juniors are the ones who are heading the military in Nigeria right now. The people that, you know. Well, I don't want to say too much. Amen. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying, look at that little bee living from that slum in Lagos. How did God do it? And I've told you the miracle of how I got to me. My parents were not educated. They didn't know anything about military school. I never heard about military school all my life until the form landed. They said, fill out this form and go for the exam and do this. And I went for the interview and did all of it. Until I reached the school, I said, this is massive. This is big. How did God do it? So God has been working in my life. He's been working. He makes all things to work together for your good. Hallelujah. Whatever the challenges are, think purpose. And the Lord will bring it to pass. So everywhere you are, he said, for such a time as this, for such a time as this. You know why you're still alive? It is so that you can fulfill purpose. And if you know your purpose, you will never die. I say you will not die. No harm will come to you. No danger will touch you. The Bible says, I know the plans that I think are for you. They are good plans, not for disaster. To give you what? A hope and a future. Praise God. You know, if you're ready to live on purpose, God will continue to preserve your life. Praise God. Purpose matters. Purpose strengthens your bones, strengthens your body. Gives you something to look forward to. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. So we've looked at Joseph. Joseph knew his purpose. We looked at Esther. Esther didn't really know her purpose, but thank God she followed her uncle. You know, obedience will help you. You know, if you don't know your purpose, obey. Because she learned to obey her uncle, she discovered her purpose. So even if you don't know your purpose, as you're hearing the word of God, as your guidance of people who are over you, fathers, mothers, and people who love you, who care about you, when you obey them, the Lord will use them to guide you to your purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's important. Young people, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. Even if your parents miss it, because you obeyed, you will get to your purpose. I said, because you obeyed them, you will get to your purpose. That's what happened to Joseph. The father sent him. What did he send him to do? Go and look for the welfare of your brothers. Now, what if he said to the dad, oh, no, those brothers hate me. No, those are my brothers. They don't like me. Then when I told them my dream, I saw that all their faces were just sad. And he refused to go. Do you think he will have become the prime minister of Egypt? Do you think he will have fulfilled the purpose? But God will have had to send someone else. Someone else will have had. So in his obedience, and he didn't get there when they tried to sell him and they sold him out. He didn't get to Egypt and say, if I had not obeyed my dad, I would not be in this trouble. You know, that's the first thing you will say. Oh, if my dad hadn't sent me to go and look for him. Even David. David did not come to fight Goliath. The dad sent him to take food to the brothers. That's all. He didn't know there was a Goliath fighting the people. He didn't know what was going on in the battleground. He just happened to be there. But you know, when you think you happen to be there, it's not happened. It is God's ordination. Before you were formed in your mother's womb. He planned it. That one day they will send you. And you will get there. Praise God. I said, praise God. And so Joseph, I said that Joseph knew his vision. Esther didn't know, but because of obedience, she discovered it. Let's look at the third person. The third person, Paul, Galatians 1, verse 15. Say, but when God... What Paul is saying is that I went about persecuting the people, doing all kinds of things. But when God, say when God. So maybe you've been doing all of the wrong things, the things that you shouldn't be doing. You've not been fulfilling purpose or you've been going in the wrong direction. But when God, hallelujah, and this is the hour. This is the time that God will arrest you and channel your path in the right direction. I said amen to that. So he said, but when God, who had chosen me, listen to this, and set me apart, when? So before he was born, purpose was already built in him. It was inside him, but he ignored it. He didn't know it. In fact, he said in another scripture, he said, because of my ignorance and unbelief. So sometimes we are not ignorant of it, so we go in the wrong direction. But look at it, but when God? He said, who had chosen me and set me apart before I was born, he called me through his grace. He was pleased to reveal. So now he's revealing him to me, his son in me. How did he reveal it? In him. So that I might do what? Preach. This was already given to him before he was born. He was going wherever he chose. He didn't care about what God wanted for him. He was going his own way and doing his own thing. He was letting people determine the way he should go in life. And he followed the crowd. But he said, but when God, thank God for God. He's so gracious. In his grace and in his mercy, God is so merciful. He's so gracious. Even if you're trying to go up, he will bring you back. God will reroute you. Amen. You know, like the sat-nav. Rerouting. Or what do you say? Recalibrating. God will bring you back on track. In the name of Jesus. And thank God for God. Not only does God bring you back on track, all the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm have eaten, the Lord will restore them back to you. Amen. So don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Pastor, why are you talking about it now? I should have heard this message when I was a boy, when I was a girl. No, it's never too late. Praise God. That I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's what God ordained him for. To go out and preach to people from other nations, people who did not know about God. And let me tell you, Paul did a good job. The reason we have the gospel here, Paul, no matter what challenges, the beatings, the floggings, the imprisonments, could not stop him because he has done what? He has discovered purpose. When you discover purpose, no opposition can stand against you. So what did he do? He went through it all. He went to Rome. He went to Cyprus. He went, where did he go? Everywhere. Malta. You know, I've been in Malta. And they were showing me where Paul went. And we have some of our members who just traveled to Cyprus. Someone who just came back from Cyprus. Where are you? She just came. Did you see anywhere Paul went in Cyprus? You didn't bother. Hey, why didn't you? You should have spoken to me before you traveled. Amen. The man was on purpose. He traveled everywhere without a private jet, without an aeroplane. He went everywhere. How did he do it? In fact, his transport was paid for by the authorities. They thought they were punishing him. You know, he said he's always desired to preach in Rome. And then they arrested him and said, we're going to try you in Rome. And when they got to Rome, he said everybody in the prison, he said they were all getting saved. And he was asking the believers to send him his books. I want to read more. I want to study more. In prison. Ha! Glory to God. That's what purpose does to you. They can change your hands. They cannot change your purpose. Praise God. Purpose. Purposeful living. Glory to God. Some of you say, well, I want to travel. I know. Link it to purpose first. And your flight will be paid off. Oh, thank God. Think purpose. Think purpose. If you are working in a company, don't just work. Your work is not your purpose. The impact you are making is your purpose. And I want every person here listening to me, don't go to work and just make it like a rat race, a dreary life. What is that? Why should you live a miserable life? Just go to work, just say, oh, we finished the one for today. Oh, thank God. Link it to purpose. When you link it to purpose, then it has a meaning. Then you can get up in the morning and say, well, I'm excited. Glory to God. You know, I remember when I used to work in the, you know, virtually everywhere I worked anyway, they always ask me, say, why are you always smiling? Hallelujah. You know, because they're expecting you to. And all of the negative things they do at work are learned over the years. Thank God for also my military training. I don't see opposition. Hallelujah. Do you know anything you can overcome should not make you sad? What's the point? You can overcome it and you are sad. What will you do if you couldn't overcome it? Then that's serious trouble. The Bible says we overcome the world by what? Our faith. You overcome. So you've got faith in God. And with that faith, you overcome everything. So I've got faith to overcome every challenge that comes my way. So what should I do? Should I be afraid? No. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, I want you to meditate on that scripture. So if no weapon formed against you, will there be weapons formed against you? Yes, the scripture is confirming that weapons will be, whether in any area, whether by people, whether by circumstances, by situations, weapons. So as soon as you see the weapon, you say, weapon. No. You are not, you didn't finish the scripture. He said it will not prosper. It will not succeed against you. So if no weapon is going to succeed against me, why should I be afraid of any weapon? That should be my mindset. Not afraid. Praise God. I say you will fulfill purpose in this earth. In the name of Jesus, nothing will take you out. Oh, you will feel your place and you'll feel your position and you will fulfill your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Wow. So Paul knew his purpose. He was going wrong, but then God redirected him. Now, I'm going to be closing here and I will continue on Friday to see how we're going to draw out our purpose. regardless of which category we fall in, whether Joseph, Esther, or Paul. Let's look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 5. He says, O Lord, this is David, you are the portion of my inheritance. He's kind of putting his trust in God. He said, in God, I've got my inheritance, in him. If you're a believer here, everything that belongs to you is in God, and God will give it to you. Amen. You are the portion of my inheritance, and you are my cup. You maintain my lot. What does that mean? The word lot means your share. You can't maintain your share. You don't fight for your share. God maintains it. My God. Because the dreariness of life is that we're all chasing and running after our what? Our lot. Our share. But he says, you already have your lot. You don't need to run after it. And God does what? He maintains it. Whatever you are meant to become, whatever you are meant to do, whatever you are, what position that is kept for you, it's already there. And God keeps it for you. You maintain it. He's confident. You've got to be confident of this very thing, that God maintains, that in this world, you will not need to hustle and fight. And yes, you need to work. You need to do all the things you need to do. But don't work as if I need to maintain my lot. God maintains it. How did I get into that military school? How did you get to where you got to in life? There are many of you, you have many testimonies. How God rerouted your life and just rerouted and recalibrated and did everything. I look back and I think on those things. And I tell myself, the Lord is maintaining my lot. Even our church, how we ended up to have this building. And then another building in Farnham Common. It was not something we imagined. But what did God do? They were already there for us. God had already ordained these buildings for us. So God did what? He maintained it until the right time, the appointed time. God maintains your lot. Don't wake up every morning and start worrying. And say, oh, how will I get there? God will maintain your lot. And you know, I said lot is like a share. Dickie Lawrence, do you have that, can you bring that table? You know, when lot is like lottery. But in God, lot is not lottery. Because God maintains it. You know, when the people in charge of the lottery, if they were to, they wanted somebody to win, can they do it? Yes. Oh, yes, they can do it. So the lot that God does, he does it. He doesn't do it like trial and error. So maybe you played the lottery for, I'm not encouraging you to play the lottery. Amen. But that's where they got the word lot from. Lottery, share. That is, there's a huge part, and then you take a share. But in the world, lot is something that is accidental. That you may win it, you may not win it. But when God maintains your lot, it is guaranteed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I think some of you have seen this experiment before. I think Pastor Hassan Boyle did this. So the lot, so because when they shared the land, let's leave it on this one. I'll leave it here. Thank you. So when they shared the land, when they were distributing the land to the children of Israel, it was by lot. So when they throw the lot for the tribe of who? Which tribe? Judah. They say, oh, your lot is that place. And then they throw another one. Your lot is that place. So wherever your lot chooses, so if it's in the back end where the land is not fertile, what happens? It is your lot. And that's how some people live this way. I say, oh, look at where I am. That's my lot. I want you to see something. When God maintains your lot, he makes sure that it's always in the right place. In fact, not that it's in the right place, it is in the best place. Look at the next verse. The lines, because God is the one maintaining my lot. He's the one sharing it. He's the one apportioning it. So what happens? The lines, that is the boundary lines of my portion, of my lot, they are what? They are falling to me. Say to me.
To me.
Where? In pleasant places. All the time. Not where the ground is so hard, when you plant something, nothing comes out. He puts it in pleasant places, fertile ground. So no matter what is happening around you right now, what is happening in your life, in your home, in your situation, God is the one maintaining your lot. Glory to God. I said God is maintaining your lot. And the lines will continue to fall for you in pleasant places. I love the way. Say, yes, I have what? A good inheritance. Say, I have a good inheritance. Say it again. I have a good inheritance. Because God is maintaining my lot. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just begin to thank God that you are not an accident. You are here on purpose. And God has planted in your heart a great thing. A great thing. You're here to impact the world, to make a difference, to make the world a better place. And all of the gifts and all the talents and everything will begin to stir up from within you. That I will not be afraid, I will not fear, because I know that the Lord is directing me, the Lord is leading me, the Lord is guiding me. I don't have to be afraid that I will miss it or that I've missed it. You have not missed it. The Lord is guiding you. He's guiding, he's letting me. He wants me to let you know today that I maintain your lot. Karabasakataraba. I maintain it. I mean, I keep it intact. Gle karabo uzurimanda. The lines have fallen for you in pleasant, in lovely, in wonderful, in bountiful, prosperous places. Not just one place, places. Oh, Kandaraba. Yes, you have a goodly inheritance. Thank you, Father. Karabo Zikayaba. Go ahead and just give God. Thank him. Say, Father, I thank you. That you are watching over me. You have my back. Karabazaka. That's why you are here today. That's why you're still living. Even in spite of all that you've been through, you're still standing. Because God is maintaining your lot. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.